Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Poisoner's Cabinet. I'm Sinead.
And I'm Nick.
And this is your weekly podcast exploring the lives of the great poisoners, macabre murders and captivating crimes from across the centuries, and creating curious cocktails inspired by the tales that we tell. And it's episode 175.
Hurrah.
Hurrah.
Yeah, it's 175. That seems like a high number.
It's a big, big number.
It's a big old number.
This is what people tune in for, to hear us discussing numbers.
Discussing numbers.
Yeah.
That's an offshoot podcast we should have.
Discussing
numbers.
I think it will do very well.
I think it would. Niche, but there's a market out there, I feel.
I think I've said before, but I have strong feelings about numbers.
Well, there we go, as many people do.
Yeah.
I'm sure they would love to hear our opinions on them.
I've got favourite numbers. I've got least favourite numbers.
And all the numbers in between.
There are numbers in between, but I don't like to dabble in those. I know my lane. I stay in my lane. How are you, Nick?
Oh, well, thinking about numbers now.
Ooh, okay. What kind of numbers are you thinking of?
I'm partial to a 13.
13's very good. Yes, like it's not
like
unlucky.
People think it's unlucky, but I like a 13. It's my birthday's the 13th, so.
Indeed. And you know you said that. This episode comes out on Friday the 13th.
Yes, I forgot. Yes, it does.
That wasn't a setup, people.
Yes, all this talk about numbers. Oh, it just happens to be. No.
That would be a bit lame if we'd done all of that and set it up to, hey, and it's Friday the 13th. We have
that was entirely scripted. All of that was tightly scripted.
We've run out of ideas, people. But yeah. You're well, otherwise.
Apart from that, yes.
Apart from that.
And my shoulder. My shoulder hurts.
Why does your shoulder hurt?
I slept on it weirdly.
We're of that age now.
Oh, we are. Oh, God, I am.
Is it just like a dull ache?
Yeah.
Yeah, so not really a stabbing pain or anything.
Sorry, it has to be a stabbing pain.
To elicit sympathy, yes.
I can't even mention it.
No.
Unless my arm is hanging off. There's a couple of sinews hanging, connecting my arm. If it's not that, I just don't mention it.
It's like you met my mother. I don't know. Yeah. Broken arm. She was like, I suppose we'll take you to the hospital.
Yeah, maybe.
That actually happened.
So, well, it's obviously the level of sympathy I'm going to get from my massive wound.
You are a massive wound. That's a new insult that I'm quite into, actually.
Gosh.
Well, any poisonings this week?
Shoulder poisoning.
You have been. What have you been poisoned in the shoulder? By a dart.
Ooh, maybe so.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe I've been, yes.
Darted.
I've been darted. Not been through many jungles of late.
It doesn't have to be in a jungle.
This is true.
Darts do exist outside of the jungle. I mean, it's a weird way of doing it.
But no one would suspect it. Unless they're you, apparently.
There you go. Oh, I'm a criminal mastermind. As long as it involves darts.
Then all is well.
Otherwise, I got nothing.
No, clue otherwise. No clue.
But no other poisonings.
No, I don't think so.
It's also spooky month. Yes. We are deeply into spooky month. It being Friday the 13th, and whether you think that's unlucky or not, it's still spooky.
It's spooky.
We have got a little trip coming up that we're taking to Cornwall, to the wilds of Cornwall. We're going to be doing some special Patreon content while we're down there.
We're going away!
People are in our houses, don't rob us. But if you're in Cornwall, send us shit.
Just say hi.
Just say hi.
Where should we go? Where's good in Cornwall?
Exactly. Dress up like death and just stand across a field waving at us.
Love it.
But also, as we approach Halloween, we'd love your feedback on what we can do for this year's Halloween episode. We've got some thoughts. We usually follow... I have.
You say every time we're coming up with something, we've got thoughts. You keep them to yourself a lot of the time.
I tell you afterwards. I say, this is what we're doing.
This is what you need to do for tomorrow. Okay, fine.
And it all works out seamlessly.
Share your thoughts with the class there. Share.
No. I want it to be a surprise if it comes off. But we would love your suggestions of what we can do for Halloween. Maybe there's some spooky true crime or crime-related stories that we haven't covered yet. They need to have a crime, because we are a true crime podcast, but something a bit more spooky. Is there something big we haven't done yet?
I mean, is there? That is the question. Is there?
Jump on social media, send us a DM, send us an email if you want to. Scream it out the window. We'll probably hear it.
Yeah.
But do send us your suggestions. Well, speaking of good things happening on Friday the 13th.
And screaming out of windows.
And having a bad shoulder.
Having bad shoulders.
Being darted but everywhere you go. I think it's time for us to thank our delicious Patreon subscribers.
Absolutely. Dap hands with the darts, I'm sure they are.
Make them sound like they're down a working man's club. Which is great.
It's not, yeah. Oh, I've thought.
Oh, sorry,
darts now.
Hang on.
Did you ever see Young Sherlock?
I did.
Back
didn't.
In the day. No. Oh. There was a whole, obviously Young Sherlock Holmes in boarding school. And the whole thing was poison darts.
The whole series, or was it one episode?
No, it was one, like a feature length film type for TV type thing. I mean, this was like 20 years ago. And it was, yeah, no, absolutely. Because I remember, because my cousin was in it.
What?
As an extra.
What?
He was as an extra.
Was he the dart?
No.
Life-size dart shuffling in. Hello.
Hello.
I'm a MacGuffin.
He's got a really pointy hat.
Well, okay, no one watched that because we know it's darts now.
So, yeah. Do you remember my poison darts? Reminded me of that. There we go. Okay. Go and watch it. It's really good. There's dancing cakes. It's really good.
What the hell? Were you drunk? Did this exist?
It does
Were
exist.
You just round your cousin's house
nope.
smoking shit and then
All
he just
real.
Waved a cake
and there's
in
an
front
Egyptian,
of you?
There's an Egyptian oh, no, pyramid under London. No, I think they're in Oxford, not London.
Because London would be ludicrous.
London
sorry.
Would be crazy.
What fever dream
oh,
is
you
this?
Oh, it's great. You must watch it. You must
right,
watch
now
it.
I need to yeah. watch this. It sounds
Young
amazing.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. Anyway, yes, moving on. So, are we doing patrons? That's what
yes,
we are. That's
let's
what,
do
that's what we are. I bet they've seen the film. It's great. Thank you very much. Firstly, to Jolene Bennett.
To Mae Jensen.
To Mrs. Kane.
And to Ari.
Marvellous. Thank
lovely,
you very much, darling.
Lovely, sexy, sexy Patreon subscribers. We had fun on Patreon this week. We had the tale of two Giovannis.
Oh, we did.
We did. Two Italian men locked in battle.
It was only
battle.
Yesterday, and I've forgotten all about it.
You always forget.
Always do. It was my episode. Gone.
Wiped from your mind.
Yeah.
It was good, that one. It was nice and bitchy. I liked it.
Who doesn't love some bitchy Italians?
Some bitchy Italians. In Banbury.
Italians and in Banbury.
Also, we have shouted out to our patrons this month. We are having a special book club just before Halloween, where we are going to be discussing our book of the month, Dracula, the classic, which we're all reading. Now, Patreons get to join a very special Zoom chat. We do this regularly with book club. This month, we're going to get spooky. We're going to dress up a little bit. We may have some readings and things like that. If you want to know what the hell we're talking about, and you also love spooky stuff, you might consider joining us. If you feel able, Patreon is minimum $5 a month. If you want to join us, there's higher tiers if you feel comfortable. You can find out all about it at patreon.com/thepoisonouscabinet or drop us a message anytime you would like to have more info. One thing we also have to do is a shout out, and we have to apologize because this is a late shout out. It is from the lovely, lovely Darcy Crofts, who wanted to give a shout out to her mum, who had their birthday last week. And so sorry that we missed this. We're so sorry that we missed your actual birthday, Kelly. We love you.
Hi.
I know you're also known as Plum.
Okay.
And we won't ask follow-up questions. We
Indeed.
Definitely
Best
will.
We did.
But very, very happy birthday. And thank you to Darcy
Merry
for
birthday.
Sending that in. Well, Nick, are you ready?
Oh, yes.
Drink cocktails and talk about boys.
Let's do it.
I can drink boys and talk about cocktails.
Do that too.
Okay, this is good. Okay, should we go with the first one?
Yes.
Yeah, hooray, hooray, okay. Hooray. It is my story this week, and we can't possibly have a story without a cocktail in hand. As you know, dear listeners, every week we choose a secret ingredient that is inspired by the tale that we tell, and it will flavour our cocktail of the week. My story, so my pick, and this week's secret ingredient is, Nick, an especially evil nut.
Right. I mean, how many times have you had a go at me for just bollocky, stupid, secret ingredients?
I gave you several
you
options.
Know. No, you,
I did. No, you... I'd be the hill I die on. I gave you two other options that you could have worked with.
Oh, I could have worked with chicken skin or buffalo.
Yeah.
Right. It's not very good for an ingredient.
No, but there is an ingredient, but I can't tell you what the ingredient is because it would give away the story, but it is an especially evil nut.
Well, that's what we went with. We went with an especially evil nut.
As your ingredient?
Yeah.
What have you come up with?
Well, so you could have just said nut, and that opens it up slightly.
We've had nuts before.
So making it an especially evil nut, then meant I had to spend several hours contemplating the nature of nuts.
I just got a picture of you staring wistfully out a window.
Exactly, yeah. I was like looking up at a tree, going, what is a nut? Which nuts are specifically evil?
Of the standard nuts.
I mean, there's almonds. I don't find almonds particularly
almonds
evil.
Almonds are my favourite. I would go with a peanut because they're the most prevalent with the allergies. And you open a bag of peanuts on a plane, someone's got an allergy, that's bad luck.
Well, that's not bad luck,
it's bad news all around.
Yes, not just, oh no.
seven years bad luck because you're dead.
And that person's dead.
Yeah, sorry. Anyone who's got a nut allergy. A walnut looks like it's had a past.
Yeah.
They hide in their shell.
They look a bit dodge.
Macadamia nut, very expensive.
Oh, I like a macadamia nut.
Yeah, but creamy, a bit excessive. You can only have so many.
I like a macadamia. I like a pecan.
Oh, a pecan.
They're a tasty nut.
You see, that is a nut, like a pistachio, that is infinitely better roasted.
Yeah, pistachios.
They're not evil.
They're not evil.
I love them. In an ice cream, delicious.
So there we go. So, I mean, how is one to narrow down a especially evil nut?
What have you come up with,
well,
Nick?
Well, I did manage to identify a particular evil nut. The one that we have mentioned as looking a bit dodgy.
Okay.
I decided the walnut.
Hey!
Was the most evil of them all.
It does look a bit gnarled.
Yeah, exactly. And it looks like a brain. It's thinking, it's planning, it's plotting.
Oh, yes!
So it's up to no good. It's taking over the world. It's making plans. And I thought, of all the walnuts, what is the worst kind of walnut?
What's the worst kind of walnut?
Yeah.
A black walnut.
The black walnuts! The black walnuts. Especially the bitter black walnuts.
You've just angled this in there. Why did I not see this coming?
I'm sorry, I thought it was damn good.
That's brilliant. I like, you see, this is why we have the obscure ingredients, because look at the genius, Nick. That was a whole story. You took us on a journey.
A whole story.
The black walnut bitters.
Yes, indeed.
That you bought a while ago because you're very excited.
Yes.
Well, I bought
them. Well, you bought them.
Oh, yeah, I did. I gifted them to you.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, because you wouldn't shut up about them.
Yeah, I know. Right. So I get a chance to use them again.
Hooray!
So we're having a cocktail. We are having a Bastille.
A Bastille. Okay, we're
where
okay.
The walnuts are locked up, because they're evil. In the deepest, darkest cells.
Oh, God, now I have an image of some walnuts armed, storming the Bastille. It's okay, because the French do slightly figure in this story.
Oh, there we go. It was all meant to be.
Love it. I'm excited to try a Bastille, very much heavily featuring black walnuts.
Some evil walnuts.
I think it is high time for us to shimmy into the poisonous cabinet kitchen and shake up a storm. So we'll see you in a minute.
We'll see you in a bit.
And we're back.
Hello.
So, Nick. The Bastille.
The Bastille.
The Bastille. Now it's brown.
Brown.
But it is served with a cube of ice.
A big chunky cube of ice.
It's very rare that we have a brown drink with a cube of ice.
This is true.
Yeah. That doesn't have a hint of red or something, like a Mulvardier or something. But yeah, I'm intrigued. It smells of alcohol. It smells of good alcohol. I'm happy. Okay.
What are you getting aromas?
Oh, good aromas.
Good aromas. Nice things. I'm smelling nice things.
Yeah, actually. Oh, that's like a core memory's unlocked, but I don't know what it's for.
Your previous life at the Bastille.
Oh, I have a feeling I was a god.
Yeah, you did unpleasant things to people.
I was with the Aristos, definitely. Going, yeah, more. I thought I was a revolutionary, but I didn't do well.
No.
I think I'd be the first one at the front running in, but I'm short and just get kicked in the face.
Okay, which side has the cake?
You would.
Yeah, exactly.
You
that's
would
me. Yeah.
Literally be there combing Marie Antoinette's many wigs.
So, you've got cake, I'm on your side.
Whispering in her ear, going, just tell them to eat brioche. It's lovely. Lovely in a burger. Anyway, enough of this frivolity. Yes, moving on from the Bastille. Let's dive in. So, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Oh, that's very pleasant.
Oh, Nick, that's so good. What magic is this?
Oh, that's good.
That's
good. I like a lot. Oh, it's been a while since we've had a really good one.
I know. I was just going to say, that's so good. I mean, that's hitting all the...
Ooh.
All the places.
Oh, I'm happy.
sitting all the... I was going to say, it's ticking all the boxes, but then I mixed it up with hitting all the spots. Oh, I'm nice. So happy. Nice. It's got good mouthfeel as well. Yeah. Whatever the black walnuts are doing...
They're doing well.
More of that.
More of that. You evil bastards.
That's a symphony of flavours. I have to guess what's
you
in
do,
this
yeah,
now.
Give me some guesses. Well, you know one.
Black walnuts.
There we go. And I can smell the walnuts. I can't necessarily taste them.
There's a good nutty.
There's a definite nutty smell going on.
But walnuts are a very distinctive flavour, though. Okay, so a strong brown spirit. I'm going to go with cognac. No, wait. Sorry, it's not Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I don't know why I'm doing this. Is it cognac or is it Calvados? You have to tell me. We can't stay in perpetual silence.
It is cognac.
Yes.
But the recipe itself, of course, for Armagnac, didn't have any of that, but substituted for cognac, which
because you've
have
got
in
good
the
cognac at the moment.
Yeah, and it's a nice Courvoisier.
But there's other things.
There are two other things.
Two, as well as the bitters.
As well as the bitters.
Okay, two other things. Love.
No.
Happiness.
None of that.
Sunshine.
No.
Kittens.
No.
No. Ooh. A vermouth? Oh, not quite.
Not quite.
An Amaro?
Not quite.
Tequila? Ish. I don't know. What?
So there's we have a Cocchi Americano.
That's a thing.
It's definitely a thing. It's definitely a thing.
It's one of the things I said probably. Does it actually bridge the gap between Amaro and
vermouth? It's sort of vermouth, sort of. Well, it's vermouth adjacent. Because vermouth is great base, but it also has other botanically things in there as well.
It does.
Whereas the Cocchi, it's an aromatized wine, it's known as, which is mainly just grape based. There are no other bits and pieces in there.
Yeah. Every time we have a Cocchi Americano in a cocktail, it's always good.
Yeah. It's also the same sort of family as like the Lillet Blanc. Same sort of thing.
Okay, we got that in there.
So we got some of that in there.
We got that spirit forward.
And there's one other thing.
Okay, maraschino. Shit. Give me a clue.
Twiggy. It's not that.
Sorry.
Don't
my
worry.
Life flashed before my eyes there. My soul left my body.
Herbie might be the better way to describe it.
Herbie. Benedictine.
Benedictine.
Oh, is it?
Benedictine.
Ooh,
complete guess, but
have
nicely done.
That.
So it's got brandy. Hell. Brandy. The Cocchi.
Cognac. Excuse
cognac.
Me.
Benedictine. The Cocchi Americano. And some walnut bitters. Stir together and then just strained over ice.
Bloody hell.
It's good.
Oh my God, it's
that
so
is
good.
Really nice. Really, People. Really, really nice. And it's not, it's not that. It doesn't have that bittery twang like a Negroni or anything like that.
No.
But it reminds me of that sort of drink.
Yeah.
Of that.
Yes, I see what you mean.
But a lot just, there's a lot smoother. It's
well,
that.
Three ingredients and a dash of bitters and there you're good to go. It's smooth.
But it's smooth and lovely. It doesn't
works.
Taste overly strong. It's not something like a Red Hook where you drink something and it goes, ugh, and it punches you in the face.
Okay. I will counter that, Nick. Okay. It does.
perhaps that's my terrifying.
You can't even taste it. I'm sitting there going, I'm drunk. You're the sort of person who just
perhaps
eats the chili
that's
raw.
That's just me.
No, I think the first sip you can taste it spirit forward. It's so smooth, so lovely, so aromatic. Guys, this is that is up there. That is a make again.
That's a winner.
In a minute. If you've been listening to this show for long enough, maybe you'll have bought cognac, maybe you'll have got Cocchi Americano. And I would recommend getting that because every cocktail we've had Cocchi in has been delicious. It's so subtle and so nice. Benedictine, such a random thing, but I bet your parents have a bottle of it somewhere.
You always have a random bottle in the back of a cupboard.
Yeah, and it comes out and it works. And those black walnut bitters. And a beautiful name. Oh my God. It's deceptive.
I'm going to celebrate with more cashew nuts.
Right, well, there's going to be rustling in this episode.
Rustling and crunching as Nick munches his way through a bag of cashew nuts.
Absolutely demolishes a bag of cashew nuts.
Oh, yes, I'm hungry.
There we are. So with the Bastille firmly in hand, revolutionaries as we are, and a big handful of cashew nuts for you.
I've got my drinks, I've got my snacks. Come on, bring it on.
Are you ready for a story?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yay! So this week, Nick, we have the tale of a queen.
Ooh.
A queen who ruled with a venomous hatred for anyone who defied her beliefs or her country.
Nice.
It is the story of the woman known as the Bloody Queen, the Cruel Queen, the Mad Queen, It is the story of Queen Ranavalona, the first of Madagascar.
I've so nearly done this story before. But mainly I didn't because I couldn't pronounce things. Because all of the names are like, shit.
And why I did this, person who cannot pronounce anything at all. Yeah, so buckle in, people, in terms of the pronunciations. Yeah. But this story, it's one, excuse my pronunciation all the way through, but the Queen, Ranavalona of Madagascar, described by one explorer, female explorer, she is certainly one of the proudest and cruelest, didn't write it right, women on the face of the earth, and her whole history is a record of bloodshed and deeds of horror.
Well, how delightful.
Now, this is a woman that, if all the reports are to be believed, is up there with Elizabeth Bathory.
Yeah.
Is up there with all the evil countesses and all the evil queens that we could imagine, and the evil kings and the evil rulers across the centuries. Her story isn't told as much, though. Also, a lot of the sources of this are not entirely unbiased.
Yeah.
This is a story that takes place in the 1800s, so we're not talking about centuries and centuries where we can't even trust the resources there. The fact is that accounts of her life are going to be written by her enemies and by white people.
Yeah.
So white people, and also the people she persecuted, who want to paint a picture of her in a certain way. Some of the accounts lean so heavily into the absolute mania that has been whipped up around this woman that you have to kind of go, okay, really?
She was probably a delight. She was lovely.
Well, we'll
kittens for everyone, first rule, came king.
It is up to people to decide. There are plenty of people who are sort of calling for a revisionist kind of autobiography of her. The fact is...
She did some shit.
Yeah, she did some shit. The sources are what they are. So I have poured through quite a lot, actually. And this did actually end up with me going through a deep dive of the other sources. I had many sources to choose from, and I looked at quite a few from Madagascar as well, as much as I could to translate. I looked through Wiki, and there was quite a lot on Wiki that I went, that shouldn't be in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, not in my own personal opinion, but we kind of look into it and go, really? You're not questioning this source here at all? Because it's the one source of that time about someone. There's not a lot of resources about her. So, anyway, that's the caveat. We all know where Madagascar is, don't we, Nick?
Yes, off the coast of India.
Mm-mm.
It's off the coast of...
Africa?
Yes.
It's in the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, Indian Ocean. India was in there somewhere.
India was in this... Oh, that's Nick.
That's pathetic. It really is pathetic. It's to the right-hand side.
You're making hand gestures and they're not helping.
It's to the right-hand
side.
It's
the southeast coast of Africa, just off there.
It is
on the route to India, so you're not completely wrong. It's not like you said it's near Japan.
It's on the road to somewhere.
It's left of England and then to Australia. That's it. So it's off the southeast coast of Africa. Also, it's worth mentioning, Madagascar experiencing pretty savage famine at the moment due to climate crisis. One of the most beautiful places in the world, one of the least developed countries in the world as well. But we're not going there now.
No.
At the time period we're visiting, it was known as the Kingdom of Madagascar. Now, Madagascar has a lengthy history in terms of the different rulers, and it's different names as well. So it's got what we would call indigenous names. It's got different references to kingdoms. I'm going to stick with calling it Madagascar all the way through this. Yeah. But it is ruled by a line of the Marina nobles, and that's the largest ethnic group in the country. The island is also firmly in the sights of many European rulers and explorers, nicely on the way to India. So
good
England,
stopping off point.
Britain, Great Britain thinks, colonies.
We'll have a bit of that.
Lovely. We like that. French fond of that too as well, because they're very busy in Africa. It's going, more stuff.
We like stuff.
But Ranavalona was born in 1778, and her birth name is Ramavo, and she is born into poverty. She does not come from a noble background. She is the daughter of a tribesman, a commoner, essentially. And she had ahead of her a life of hardship. But her father has some good luck because he hears about a plot to assassinate the king of the time. And the king's name...
Good luck with this.
Right. Okay. I actually got my husband to come in the room earlier today and work out how to say this. Adrian Nam Poin Imirina. First time.
Nicely done. If it's right, fantastic.
Forever known as the king who went before.
The king who went before. I like that.
The translation of his name, according to a magazine, a prominent magazine from Madagascar, is the one who will always stay in the mariners' hearts.
Oh.
And also can be translated as the king who is not like the stupid. Now, this king is... I'm not going to go into his whole history. He is quite beloved as a king in
history. In their hearts, apparently.
Yep, in his heart. Remains a heroic figure for many, many years and also today. Did a huge amount to unify all the territories. There were a lot of different territories split up before it became the Kingdom of Madagascar, and it had different names and then became Madagascar as it is today. But no, it turned out the king's own uncle wanted him dead.
Bastard.
He wanted to be the king.
Very Lion King.
And there is a lot of Game of Thrones-esque, I'm just going to say it, that sort of like plundering for power, particularly on the Iron Island sort of vibe of like, you know, whatever happens, I will kill whoever is in front of me. Oh no. But this commoner, the commoner warned the king and the plot was foiled. And so moved was the king by this gesture, so grateful, is that he rewarded the man by betrothing the king's son, Prince Radamer, to Remover.
Oh, okay. Well, one way to get ahead.
Yeah, now, that's a really good gesture.
I've got my son going, do I get a say in this? No.
No. The king has 11 sons and 12 daughters by his many, many wives.
Many, many, many wives.
But he has named Radama his heir. So, she's going to marry...
She's going to be queen.
...the future king. And not only that, she's going to be his first wife. So, Remover is going to be... queen one day.
Quite the honour.
Now, the line of succession is an odd one. Radama, the heir, the king, the future king, was not the eldest of his children, but the king had said, okay, you're going to be my heir. If you are pronounced the king, if you're my heir, all of your children and any of the children that your spouses produce will be in line and they will ascend to the throne. To ensure that the line of succession continued, the king had his eldest son killed.
Okay.
And this is a pattern you're going to see a lot.
Right.
In
yes.
here. As soon as you name a successor, kill everyone else.
Get rid of the others.
Literally kill everybody else. Yeah. It's fine.
Because they're going to try and kill you.
When the king dies in 1810, Radama I ascends to the throne. He's just 18. And his first bride is Remover. She is 15 years older than him.
Okay.
But her children will be future rulers. Mm. As was tradition... Radama killed many, many members of her family. So no one would have a chance of usurping him to the throne or claiming anything. Her whole family, anyone who was close to her, killed. His own family members killed. Anyone who questioned it, did.
Get rid of anyone else who's got a claim to anything.
100%.
Kill them off.
So it's a bitter pill to swallow because you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to be queen and I'm going to be the first wife and I'll have riches. And a nice house and courtiers, but also you're going to kill my family.
You're going to kill everyone I've ever known.
Yes. New king, the young man, takes 12 wives in total during his reign, but his first wife, the only one who will be called queen, is Remover. She's not his favourite.
Meh.
She is older than him. Not by much, by what, 15 years?
It's not a small number.
It's not a small number. And she's apparently quite vocal.
Yeah.
Vocal. She's chatty. She has thoughts in her head.
Oh, my God. No one wants that in a wife.
Outspoken, didn't agree with his policies and his decisions, and he thought her noisy.
Oh.
Noisy. Nobody wants a noisy wife.
No one wants to sit there and look pretty.
Just do some sewing.
Yes, embroider things.
Write something to someone. Radama is carrying on the work of his father before him. He's trying to unite the country, but he's very interested. He's more interested, and as was his father, in forging ties with Europeans. And he does sign a treaty with the British. With the British, kind of like a friendship sort of alliance.
Is that all get blown to pieces? By cannons from the many, many boats we're surrounding your islands by.
Not so much. They're not actually going to, we'll blow you to pieces because they'll be like, well, come on then. We'll go to war with Africa. You know, it's more, let's be friendly.
Friendly.
It's all very nice. Cricket rules kind of thing. In 1817, it allows lots of Christian missionaries to come to the island. Yes, come in. Preach the word of our Lord, you weird, weird heathens. And also can you just calm down on your slave trading to Madagascar? They're like, can you not so much?
much, really. Nice. And they're like, oh, yeah, we'd like to keep hold of that, really. On the sly, everyone. This horrified Romova, the young queen. She saw this, any sort of dealing with the Europeans, as a suppression of her country's traditional faiths and the ancestors and their beliefs. And this is a thing she held true to her heart all the way through her life. Mm-hmm. This was her sort of defining quality. As such, things weren't rosy in the bedroom of the king and queen. He wanted to go and see all his other hot wives. So no children were produced.
Well, that's not good.
No. You need an heir. You need an heir. And the queen sort of was bored for many years, kind of floated around court, hanging out with her ladies of court. Mm. Again, this reference as well from a questionable source that she hung out with one of the Welsh missionaries who came to Madagascar, a man named David Griffiths, who had a very interesting life as a missionary. She didn't really like Christians, but maybe he had good rum. Apparently she was drinking rum with them as well, but like, can't really be stood up. But maybe that happened. She is quietly seething in the background until July 1828, when the king falls ill.
Oh.
Very, very ill.
Very, 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 very stabby sort of ill.
Well, he dies.
He dies. Okay.
How he died is a sort of matter of debate.
Okay.
Now, Radamer was a drunkard all of his life, well documented, and his official cause of death is death by heavy intoxication.
Well, that'll do it.
It's a good way to go. Not so much. People sort of question, like, you know, did he die from drunkenness? Did he fall down? It was cirrhosis of the liver. All of those things are sort of passed around. Others, the rumour mill starts. Did he literally drink himself to death? Did he take his own life? If he was suffering from extensive pain, some people have it that he cut his own throat with his own dagger. Others say he died from syphilis.
Delightful.
So if you're in syphilis and you're the king, then maybe we just, oh, no, no, he died from drinking too much because he was such a lad. And others would, of course, whisper that he may have been dispatched by a rival or an enemy or maybe his first wife. There's no evidence to support that whatsoever. But he did.
But he's dead. Whatever happens, he's dead.
He did. Nice tradition in the family as well. The king before him and him as well. He was buried in a silver coffin.
Nice.
In a tomb on the grounds of the royal palace, and his tomb was surrounded by jewels and finery and a mirror and table and chairs and a bed and a nice jug with water and also some rum that was replenished every year.
Nice. Well,
just in case he woke up.
Well, indeed. You've got to be prepared for the afterlife and all that sort of thing.
In case you have company.
Yeah, exactly. So yes. Good to have options.
But now we have the problem of succession, Nick. No direct heir to the throne. No heir.
That's not going to work heir. Well.
Tradition would dictate that his sister's son, his nephew, Rakotobi, would ascend. Now, he is in line, and there's enough people at court who are like, oh, yeah, actually, we quite like him. The two courtiers who were with the king when he died were really big fans of young Rakotobi, and they were prepared to speak out for him. But they decided they should hide the news of the king's death for about 2 days until they could sort of work out an action plan of putting the nephew to the front. Yeah.
Cunning. Very Game of Thrones. Lots of plotting going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, he died, but then there's two factions. There's the queen's faction, there's a nephew's faction. Also, other people are going, oh, hello.
Hello,
I can maybe
yes.
Like, oh, shut up, you.
I'm the fourth cousin, twice removed.
And I think I'm up for the job.
That would be great.
It's also, do you not know what happened to everyone else beforehand?
I would keep your mouth shut if I were you.
Yeah, unless you've got a really strong chance of winning. There's even rumours that the courtiers who were with the king when he died, one of them was the queen's lover. But there was 2 days. No one knew the king was dead. I don't know if they full-on Weekend at Bernie'd him. Like, had him walking around the streets going, la, 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 la.
I'm sure they were much more respectful.
Maybe. Just propped him up on a chair vaguely.
with a newspaper and a cigar.
A newspaper and a Bastille in the hand.
He's fine. He's chilling out.
But yes, eventually the news has to come out that the king is dead. This delay may have cost them their advantage, though, because they obviously hadn't hidden the fact the king was dead. Enough whispers go through.
Difficult thing to keep quiet, I feel.
Yeah, the whispers go through the courtiers and everything. And all the people who are in the support of the queen, she starts gathering her own spies and her own supporters. They not only ensure that she's kept safe, that no one comes and kills her, because they would. Wow. They absolutely would cut her down. They keep her safe, but also work to secure support for her ascension to the throne. They say that they whisper around that this is their God's will, this is the ancestors' will.
Meant to
this
be.
Is what they want. And on the 11th of August, 1828, Ramova declares herself as Radama's successor based on her dead husband's non-existent wishes. And she had enough support.
Well, yeah.
So she rises to the throne as Queen Ranavalona the First, and she has her coronation in 1829. So, yes.
Good for her.
You have to remember this is the 1800s. We're not talking like way, way back. At her coronation, she gives this quite famous speech where she proclaims, "Never say she is only a feeble and ignorant woman. How can she rule such a vast empire? I will rule here to the good fortune of my people and the glory of my name. I will worship no gods but those of my ancestors. The ocean shall be the boundary of my realm. I will not cede the thickness of one hair of my realm."
Oh, fighting talk.
Da, da,
good
da.
For her.
At her coronation, she really favoured European fashion, even if she wasn't a fan of the Europeans. So she wore a dress in the French style.
The French style.
In the French style. Lots of red silk, lots of flowing red silk, gold buttons.
Well, make you stand out, won't it?
Yeah, well.
Everyone else is in traditional dress and you're in there in a fancy European frock.
Well, she would adapt them. She would get European dress, but she would adapt pieces of the Malagasy style into it. So she would put her initials in there and sort of and also different tropes
Tarted
in there.
Up a bit.
Yeah. She loved that style, but she wanted to make it kind of like her twist on it.
Yeah, you need to go. Yeah. Like it.
So she starts her reign, of course, by killing all of her rivals.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's what everyone does.
Rakatobi, whole family wiped out.
Yeah.
Dead. Anyone who murmured about wanting to be king had to be killed. She followed an ancient custom where it was said that no royal blood should ever be spilled. So she had them strangled.
Ha! Nice. Like it.
Except for Rakatobi's mother, who she had imprisoned in a cell and let starve to death.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. But still, no blood.
No blood was spilled.
No blood. Gods are happy.
Now in her power, she has her sights set on the reform that she wants from the previous kings. Unlike her former husband and her father-in-law before that, she wanted no accord with Europe.
Mm.
No, Madagascar will be its own kingdom, literally the kingdom of Madagascar, with no outsiders. She wants it to thrive on its own with no foreign influence, and she wants to adhere to the old ways and traditions. She tore up the treaty her late husband had forged with Britain, literally and figuratively, starts cutting off ties with foreign trade lines as well. We will be self-sufficient. Very much does this by championing her own export of slaves. Yeah, so a lot of slave trade.
Yeah.
This has been one of the things that had been banned by the treaty with Britain, as I said earlier, but she undid that. No, we have slaves, we'll trade
them.
We've
got plenty of people here. Yes, and you want people to have them.
She would, in the background, of course, amass her own army and use the armies to amass more territories and expand the size of Madagascar, fend off invading armies and plunderers, and also employ the use of forced labour in lieu of taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just like, oh, citizens, you'll work for us. Why? For free!
It's not an ideal utopian society, I feel, that she's created.
But she sees this as all beneficial to the future of her country. And crucially, she begins restricting the lives and practices of the Christians.
Yeah.
Now, maybe they didn't ask the Christians to come.
Well, no, that's true.
But they had been welcomed in the past, and they had set up churches, and they had set up libraries, and they'd set up schools, and they'd done a lot of work. Yes, preaching the word of one Lord. She doesn't want this. No. Let's start to gently undo all the work of the Christians. She will not allow any more baptisms. The ones who are already here, okay, we'll tolerate you, but no more. No, indoctrinate no anyone. No recruiting. You won't be treated badly if you stay, or would you? We'll see.
But you won't be treated well either. So.
we'll be looked on favourably. Her physical appearance, interestingly, is a contradictory one, because this is where all of the accounts of how the queen looked are from all the white Westerners.
Yeah.
So she was always described exotic, tall woman. She was called powerful. But again, this is from the perspective of a lot of English people who have got Queen Victoria and kind of go, she's the ideal queen. This big lofty bitch. No, we don't like her at all.
This 3 foot tall, 20 stone woman is the ideal queen.
Yeah. A lot of the writings about her are of her immediately huge, tyrannical, mad tribal woman. So, you know, pretty racist take on it. She was, even though she, you know, made her coronation speech, which is, you know, pretty powerful, she was quite private. She was said to not want to speak in public that much. It was very likely she was illiterate, but that was because the Malagasy language had not been written down until very recently, literally during her reign. So couldn't have read speeches and couldn't have done those sort of long speeches. So she preferred not to, but she was sort of intensely quiet, but she liaised with all of her courtiers and was said to sort of lean on talismans and all these sorts of things. People whispered about her. She uses this power to her advantage, or maybe the silence that she put across could be used to her advantage, because people just could see her sort of moving about. Oh, she's plotting. Whispers about her taste for cruel punishment. She would never remarry. She had children with her favourites, with people in court, and they were deemed to be the heirs of the previous king. So they were in line for the throne. Her kids, because she'd been married to the king.
She'd been married, yeah.
Yeah, she could shag who she likes, which is quite nice. Okay. Which is quite nice.
Good for her.
There were some reports. Again, I couldn't get this stood up, but I heard one case of where she declared herself a man to prevent further alliance. Now, I don't know if that's figuratively. Well, she was like, literally, I don't think she was, but it was like, no, I'm not going to marry again. So don't rack up anything in front of me. Again, this is probably hearsay or apocryphal. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, things escalated substantially in 1835. I've heard her sort of gently going, no, I don't really like the Christians. It's when she fell very ill that year. And she fell so ill, it was feared she would die. This was a really horrific illness. What it was, we don't exactly know. But she was at death's door. But then suddenly the queen emerged from her chambers miraculously well.
Ooh.
Miraculously well, cured of all ailments, and of everyone around her going, what the hell has happened? And she said it was because she'd prayed to her ancestors, to the old gods, who were true gods, to save her. And she felt that the gods of her ancestors had protected her, and now she must purge her land of Christianity.
Yeah.
She gonna crank it up a notch. Missionaries who hadn't already been encouraged to leave were banished. Anyone who had remained or had been converted to Christianity were dragged before the queen, and they were forced to undergo the famous trial by ordeal involving a very evil nut.
Is that the bean? Is that the evil? Yes, I think I know the bean.
You're calling it a bean?
Yeah.
Would you like a drink?
Oh, yeah, I would actually, yes. Before I go on about the bean.
Save the bean talk for later.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So, Nick.
Yep.
The queen is on her rampage against Christianity. She needs a very evil nut to do her work. Now, you keep laughing. So, what's your bean theory?
Oh, is this the Calabar?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of something different then.
Well, let's come back to that in a bit. Love to hear about that one. If you were in Madagascar at the time, in the kingdom, If you possessed a Bible, you went to church, you were seen going to the church, if you sort of kind of went like, oh, Christianity's okay, you were going to be punished. You were going to face death. Now, if you were outright a Christian, yep, you could face all of the horrible, horrible deaths that you can imagine. So you could be starved to death, you could be pushed off a cliff, you could be speared to death, boiled alive, beaten and beheaded.
Such fun.
Other torments that were laid out in front of you, you could be sawn in half, skinned alive, crushed the testicles.
Don't do that. Please, don't do that.
All at once, no. Other, nice one, being sewn up in the hide of a buffalo with only the head sticking out, and then you were left to die. And see, I don't know if that's like the skin, the hide, because then that's just like a bit of a heavy overcoat.
Yeah.
Or so maybe you're starved to death because you can't use your hands.
Exactly, yeah, you can't eat, but I don't see what having a big leathery jacket helps that.
So maybe you were sewn up in the buffalo. Kind of Star Wars sort of thing, yeah. It's hot in there.
It's hot in the buffalo.
It's quite hot in the buffalo, yeah. If you didn't want any of those, you might want trial by ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
And you might want to have a go at the Tangina ordeal.
Okay.
Now, I believe it's pronounced Tangina. T-A-N-G-E-N-A. So the Tangina, do you know what it is?
No, I can't say I do.
It's a shrub.
Oh, a shrub.
A shrub common to Madagascar.
Okay.
And it has a plant. It is a plant that has a fruit. And in that fruit, there is an almond-shaped nut. Mm. But it's not an almond.
Not an almond.
It's the Tangina nut. And this is extremely toxic.
Okay.
It is a famous poison. And it was used in the ordeals and it became the Tangina ordeal. The way they did it, and it has got shades of other trial by ordeals using a type of poison. The poison is extracted and the accused is brought before the queen. The accused is given apparently rice water or rice soup, so some liquid. And then they must take the poison extracted from the Tangina nut along with 3 chicken skins.
Okay, right.
Swallow all that down.
Knock all that back.
Quite the cocktail.
It really is, yeah. I should have made that one.
Mm-hmm. And if the accused then vomited up the 3 chicken skins, 1, 2, 3, they were innocent.
Right.
If they did not bring up all 3.
They had to bring up all 3.
They had to bring up all 3. But if they didn't, or they foolishly died from being poisoned, they were guilty.
Right.
That's
interesting.
That's the ordeal. That's their trial by ordeal.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, there are variations of this in witch trials and witch hunts around the world. So you mentioned a bean.
Yeah. So there's one. Actually, I remember it because when we had the Patreon episode with, I think it was with Catherine Harkup, right back at the beginning, she mentioned this particular poison, and it stuck with me.
Bonus expert.
So indeed, so we had so trial ordeal by bean. it was, and I think this is it's the Calabar bean from, I think, predominantly from like around Nigeria, sort of way. And the idea being, that you pop a couple of these beans in, if you
pop a bean in,
and I must admit, I need to Google it. If you died, you're innocent. If you lived, you were guilty, or the other way around, I'm not entirely sure. But there was if you vomited horribly, then you were guilty. If you didn't, you were fine. And a lot of people thinking, oh, I get it out of my system, like chewed the bean, which only released the toxin sort of more, which made them very, very ill and produced them guilty. If you just swallowed the thing whole, then it would just stay in your system and come out the other end.
Exactly.
And you survived entirely fine. So there's a different type of bean.
So there's beans and nuts. There's various toxins that were used in trial by ordeal. And as you said, exactly, there are some where you had to keep it down. Mm. And if your body purged it, you know, like a certain A-word poisons, it will cause you to purge. It will cause you to throw up. And they go, oh, you're trying to purge it from your system because you can't, the Lord's arsenic will not stay in your system. That was a theory, but on this one, it was just a weird kind of admin.
The old chicken skin thing going on there as well. So
they put the chicken skins down. Now, you had chicken skin as an ingredient.
Yeah, what cocktail would have you come up with that?
Chicken skin cocktail. Just make some crispy chicken skins on the side to nibble on.
Right. So any old cocktail with some crispy chicken skin on the side.
We just order some KFC and eat the skin.
Bring it on. With the vodka. Absolutely.
We might do that later, actually. after a few more of these best deals. So if you're puking your guts up and for some reason the third one doesn't come up or the second one gets caught in your throat or anything, you're guilty. And then how will you die? Oh, choose from all of the above, all the things that I've said. How are you going to be killed? You can be stabbed, you can be, or you can be subjected to a far worse death, you know, whether it's all the tortury kind of ways. Now, the Queen saw the Tangina ordeal as a religious trial, and many other practitioners of this also saw it as a spiritual thing. The Queen reportedly, in the same way that others did, thought this was the will of the gods.
Yeah.
They were saying that the gods decided if you were guilty or innocent. This isn't me torturing you. This is the test that the gods and our ancestors have set in front of you. This will determine whether you live or you die. Others felt that the nut itself was spiritual, that the toxin inside it was a spirit of some kind, and it would punish the guilty. So if it poisoned you to death, well, you were guilty. You deserved it. Which is kind of like... So poison is like a spirit. It's like a little ghosty thing. It's said that around half the people who underwent the ordeal died. And a lot of people underwent the ordeal during her reign in Madagascar. Around 20% of the population died as a result of the ordeal in 1838 alone.
Bloody hell.
So if you want to do the maths around that...
That's a lot of people.
20% died. How many people did the ordeal? Mm. There were reports of... Or there's thoughts that people were subjected to the ordeal again and again and again.
Didn't get the results I wanted the first time around.
Yeah.
Having to have some more.
Well, any little insurgence, anything that bothered the Queen, apparently would result in this trial and ordeal. Now, this is where people go, okay, is this likely? This is where we go into Elizabeth Bathory territory. Is this getting a little bit... Any excuse she had, use this trial or ordeal. It was definitely used.
Yeah.
To the point where it was banned years later, officially, on record. But there was apparently one story where one of her young nieces died of whooping cough, and she put all of the servants who attended her through the ordeal.
Oh, because they had let her die.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of the abusive servants in this one, which isn't recorded, but we've covered enough in the other countesses and the other noble women out there, you know, if it's to be believed.
She's all for the slave trade. I can't imagine she's that bothered about her own servants in the palace. No.
One of her advisors and one of her lovers as well, again, a very complicated name that I'm sorry, I won't pronounce because I tried and I tried and I tried and I feel like I would be doing it a disservice. But one of her advisors who was with her and probably fathered her son was put to trial after apparently flirting with another woman. There's some that she caught him with another woman, others that he looked at another woman. Trial by ordeal was presented to him and he said, just stab me in the throat. Like, it's like a fuck you to her. And he said, pointed to the throat and said, do it. And speared through the throat.
I suppose it is a get out of jail free card, really, isn't it? If you're there and you genuinely have a belief in the ancestors and whatever deities that you believe in, and it's not me doing this stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
If you die, then it's because the gods have proclaimed you guilty.
Yeah.
So my conscience is entirely clean. Is entirely clear of all this stuff.
It's a weird logic. Compared to the witch trials, where you've got the trial by water, where it's like, if you float to the top, which is science, then the devil is saving you. But if you float to the bottom and you die, oh, the Lord wanted you. That's just mental. That's just horrible. But this one, at least, you have a vague chance. You have a vague chance if you puke up enough chicken skin. Oh, yeah, it's fine. Okay. And you've also taken a toxin, which is going to make you vomit.
Yeah.
So... But it's also torturing people. Missionaries gave this one really lurid report of the tortures of Christians. Apparently there were 15 Christian leaders who were sort of left in Madagascar at this time, and they were all suspended by ropes above a ravine, 150-foot drop to the rocks. And they were forced to repent, to renounce their Christian ways, and they refused, so the ropes were cut.
Yeah.
And they plummeted to their death. Also, tales which I don't believe, the Queen coated her feet in poison and had anyone accused kiss her feet. If they survived, well, then, you know, the gods were on their side. That's just ridiculous. It might have happened.
You never know.
Things that really did happen.
Let's stick with those things.
Which sounds ridiculous, actually, when you say it, is she had a really big stroke of good luck. This is back in, actually, 1832, when a Frenchman, Jean Labord, washed up on her shore, literally.
Okay.
Yes, it's nice when Frenchmen wash up in
the shore. Indeed, yeah, absolutely.
But he was an adventurer, an engineer. Mm-hmm. He had been sailing around. He was an experienced industrialist. And he was hunting for treasure in shipwrecks.
Nice.
Around the coast of Madagascar. But he got shipwrecked. Mm. And he was washed ashore. And he was dragged in front of the Queen. She's like, hello, Mr. Frenchman. Learned of his skills as an engineer. And decided, right, I'm going to employ you. I'm going to use you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you labor. Forced labor.
Yeah.
Resources. Build me factories, produce rifles and cannon. And this sort of started a little mini industrial revolution for the island, where he led with her this formation of this area that was producing not only weaponry for the army, but their own goods. So apparently bricks, tiles, pottery, glass, porcelain, silk, soap, candles. Everyone loves a candle.
Everyone loves a candle.
Lime, cement, charcoal, all these sorts of things, like dyes and fabrics, and start trading.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
He became one of her most trusted advisors. One would hope,
yeah, obviously.
And lover, obviously, it was said, yeah. Said to have fathered her son who became the next king as well. While she despised most Europeans, she saw their usefulness. She made a speech at one point thanking the Europeans, acknowledging their influence on Madagascar, of them introducing language, different languages, excuse me, and their culture and art and history and their teachings, but also saying, stay the fuck out of Madagascar, because don't indoctrinate anyone into your religions or your beliefs.
So we'll take all the good things, but then just go away.
yeah, pretty much. It did succeed in her with this sort of industrial town and all of this production of rifles and cannon, making a formidable force against foreign invaders. Now, there are stories that both the British and the French decided to gang together to sort of make a shit attack on Madagascar. Maybe it was bad luck when they made this invasion in 1849 that the British and the French decided to sort of sail up to Madagascar, sailed up on the shores thinking, oh, we can take over this island.
I'm sure it probably did happen, and they were just like so arrogantly blase, convinced by their own entire superiority. The what could this little African island possibly have to defeat us?
Yes, it does make sense to a point that apparently Britain and France sort of got together on this, and they were like, even though they would have fought like cats and dogs about who actually owned it, but they sailed up, and apparently in Madagascar, the Queen had set up sort of like a false fort on the shores that looked all rickety, and kind of like, oh, they were like, yeah, we can get through that easily, but she had a massive fortress behind it. So there was this battle on the beach, and the British and the French were sent away, absolutely defeated, retreated. In some reports, it was like, yeah, they succeeded. Other reports, it was like, no, some of the soldiers died of malaria. Mm. Yeah, well, as soon as they set up, they just dropped dead. But the thing that endured afterwards is that after this defeat, the heads of 20 European casualties were cut off and put on spikes on the beach and lined up as a message to anyone who dare try to breach their shores in the future.
Okay.
Mm. As her reign went on, she definitely became more erratic, again, if the stories are to be believed. In 1845, very famous this one, she decided she wanted her subjects to go on a buffalo hunt.
No. Okay.
Big buffalo hunt.
Big buffalo hunt.
And it's not just a few. It's thousands.
It's all of them.
As in tens of thousands of people go and hunt the buffalo with just minimal supplies through the jungle. Find some, would you? They had to go and do this under pain of the massive torture that she threatened them with. Had to build roads through the jungle, dying as they went. Just dropping dead of no supplies, malaria, starvation, dehydration. The hunt lasted 4 months. 10,000 people allegedly died.
Okay.
Not one buffalo was killed.
Oh, that's a disappointment.
There's one guy in the hide walking along. Not a single
buffalo.
No, not a single buffalo.
Well, they're shit hunters.
Some of them were actually sewn up in the buffaloes, wandering along going, oh, yes, no, they'll never catch me.
All in buffalo costume going, ha.
Other fun facts, alleged fun facts as well. She had a tradition where she took a public bath once a year on her balcony.
Nice.
And they would pour the water over her adoring fans.
Oh, really?
Yes, her subjects. Lovely. Like a blessing.
Yeah, drink my bath water.
In your face. Eventually, the plots against her bubbled to the surface. Mm. If you have a strong ruler, there's going to be more plots around her.
Yeah.
She found out her own son, Rakoto, and her confidant, the Frenchman Laborde, had been plotting against her with the French to drive her from power. Now, she forgave her son, who would later become her heir. Some alleged it was a big double bluff, that the son was working with her to sort of have conspiracies against others so she could
identify... Needle out the spies.
Yeah. Yeah. She forgave him, which kind of lends credence to this. As a very bloody woman, she would be like, well, we'll screw you, I'll have another son or whatever. Forgave him and he would succeed her. Laborde, the Frenchman, was apparently sent on a death march through the jungle. Malaria everywhere, but he survived.
Oh, good for him.
He did quite well. The Queen, Rana Belova, would not be overthrown, though. She would reign for 33 years.
That's damn good going.
She died in her sleep in 1861, aged 83.
Well, yeah.
Succeeded by her son, who would become Radamer II. Apparently, on her 12,000 zebu were slaughtered. Do you know a zebu?
I don't know what a zebu is.
Oh, a zebu. It's a bit of cattle, and also it's a good Simpsons reference.
Is it?
Hump and doolap. Hump. Bandoolap. A load of people understand what I mean by saying that.
Yes. Sure, it's hilarious.
Yes, but it's got a hump and it's got the like the flappy jowls.
Okay.
Little horns and everything. Zebu.
I'm going to say yes.
It's a thing. It's you a can thing, look apparently. It up later. But 12,000 zebu
12,000 of them.
Were slaughtered. Meat distributed to the populace in her honour. During her funeral ceremony, apparently a spark from her fucking funeral cortege, whatever was happening, ignited a barrel of gunpowder, killed a bunch of people, and burnt down three buildings.
Brilliant.
She died how she lived.
Yeah, indeed, making an exit.
During her 33-year reign, it is estimated that Madagascar's population was reduced by up to 50%.
Oh, Christ.
Between sort of 33 and 50%. From 5 million to 2.5 million.
That's not ideal.
Mm. 50% of the population wiped out. Radamer II, her son, did not carry on her violent regime.
Good, good.
Allowed the Christians back in, yeah. Tried to reverse a lot of the policy there before being strangled 2 years after his coronation.
Oh.
Mm. But the Tangina ordeal was outlawed in 1865, 4 years after the Queen's death. So was she truly a mad queen, or was she a fearless, bloody leader, no different from plenty of the other males who had come before her and after her as well. She is given the moniker of the Bloody Queen, the Mad Queen, the Cruel Queen. As I said, most of the reports of her would come from very biased sources who could paint her as a brutal, mad woman and a savage, in very racist terms. When it comes to female rulers in history, particularly those with a bad rep, there's almost an automatic assumption that their stories need to be retold and rewritten with a more sympathetic eye and voice. However, there's no doubt that the Queen was a tyrannous and bloody ruler. Aside from the trials by ordeal, there are plenty of reports about the conditions that her subjects lived in. The number of deaths in her armed forces, the forced labour factories. Are they exaggerated? Maybe a bit. But sometimes a bloody queen really is a bloody queen. And that is the story.
Yes.
The Mad Queen of Madagascar.
A terrifying woman.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
So how much did you know?
I knew bits of it because, it's one of the sort of I have looked at in the past, but not in great detail.
Mm.
So, yes. Interesting.
It's an interesting one because everyone acknowledges the resources.
Mm.
A lot written by missionaries, white British guys, talking about Madagascar and painting her as a savage.
As a savage, yes.
Which is horrible. It doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Well, indeed, she definitely did some nasty shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, she definitely did some horrible, horrible things. So, yeah, she was all for slave trade, trying to export. I think she did a lot, from what I remember, my readings before, she did a lot of trade with the sort of the Arab states and things like that, of getting slaves and things sold there. So, yeah.
That was one of their biggest exports.
An all-benevolent ruler that has been done the dirty with history. And she was...
Yeah, she wanted to blight out Christianity as well and was very happy to use a heavy hand with that.
Yeah, and so very, very happy to obviously take the benefits of European new knowledge and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
But then, yeah. And now, tell me how to make guns, then go away. I want to make cannons and then fuck off.
Yeah, it started with Christians, and there was a lot of, like, Europeans are not allowed in Madagascar. And, you know, like, her trying to, you know, forge a country. And people sort of acknowledge the fact that she did do good work-ish in terms of making sure the country was self-sufficient.
Yeah.
But at a great cost.
Yes, at a very great cost.
And indeed. Again, looking through the resources from Madagascar, there's not a lot that are going, oh, she's a hero. They all sort of say, some people think she's a hero. No.
Yeah.
Not so much. It's with balance. But also, the only bit of leeway I will give, not for anything that she did, but it's another one where the women's crimes are laid out in great detail. Like, isn't this absolutely horrific and an anomaly? Whereas men have been doing it for centuries.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So much. Yeah. Every man is progressive, but they were all slave traders as well. And they would have been killing people by tribal ordeal. Maybe not as much as her, because she was going on a sort of a religious rant. So balance may be needed, but doesn't make her not a
exactly. It doesn't make her not a vicious, terrifying woman.
Yes. Poisony chicken skin woman. And you could have done stuff with chicken skins, I feel.
Okay.
And buffaloes. I did give you buffaloes.
You did. I did try and look for a mozzarella cocktail.
Well, what do you think, people? What do you think of the story of the Queen of Madagascar? Do you think she is fairly labelled the Bloody Queen? And do you believe the stories about her and her zealous pursuit of supremacy for her country and her horrible, horrible ways that she tortured all the Christians? Do you think it all actually happened? Or do you think it needs to be treated with a pinch of salt? Tell us what you think. Jump on the comments of this episode and tell us your thoughts, your theories, your feelings. But most importantly, you must mix up a pastille.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, it was good.
It was
so
good.
Best one in many a week.
In decades. We'd blown away.
So yeah, recipe will be out on Friday. It's got some weird stuff in there. Go and buy it. It's great.
Or when you're at a cocktail bar.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give them our recipe.
Yeah. But it is. Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
Delightfully surprised by that.
It's so nice to have a delicious, genuinely deliciously good cocktail. So go and make this one and enjoy it for spooky season. If you haven't already, please join us on Patreon to get more episodes from The Poisonous Cabinet every single week. And leave us a review on Apple iTunes, because it really, really helps our podcast. And leave reviews for other podcasts that you love as well. Thanks for listening, guys. We have been the people inside The Poisonous Cabinet. We will see you next week. And remember, your loved ones are trying to kill you.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.